Now I'd like to welcome everybody. I didn't want to welcome you a second ago. We've got quite a few visitors with us today. We're awful glad that you came to worship with us. We've got some visitors here from Las Vegas. We've got some visitors from Pahrump, over the hill in Pahrump. We've got some people from California, some all the way from Lubbock, Texas. And I might have missed some people, but we're glad that you came to worship with us. We're going to talk today about new beginnings. Went out with Curtis Jensen, took the Jeep out and went up into some mountains and so forth. And I tell you, I love this time of year. And you see the flowers blooming. You see the new beginnings. It's a new part of the year, spring. And things are coming to life. My desert tortoise is out. Sean's desert tortoise is out. And it's a new year. I think back when I was in school, you kids can probably relate to this. The beginning of a new school year. You're excited. What's the teacher going to be like? Am I going to make new friends? There was always hope. No matter how bad it was the year before, how bad a grade you got, there's new hope. You're going to turn over a new leaf this year, and it's full of hope, and you're excited. A new season to start practicing. You know, new jobs. There's that new job that you're excited for. You're looking forward to it, etc., etc. A new home. Moving into a new home, the excitement, the... You've got a clean slate to work with. You can rearrange things however you want it. You can paint whatever color you want. And there's that excitement of the new beginning. Marriage. You're excited about that. Man, it's been 30 years. That's a long time. I still remember the excitement of being newlyweds, looking forward to starting that new life. Well, I'll tell you, the Bible is full of new beginnings also. You think of Noah and his family after the flood. Talk about a new beginning. Talk about a new beginning. They were starting the world all over again. Think of the Israelites going into the land of Canaan. Going into the promised land, the land that they had been looking for and traipsed around for 40 years, getting ready to go into the promised land, the new beginnings that offered. There is no other, no greater new beginning than the resurrection of Jesus. None bigger. The effects and the side effects of the resurrection of Jesus was tremendous. And if you'd like to read along, in 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 3 of 15, we see Paul writing, it says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins." He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Paul's not telling them this. Paul's not coming up with a story. According to the Scriptures, the Jewish converts that were hearing this, they would make that connection, putting two and two together. All the Scriptures of the Old Testament that we looked for a Savior, that hope, that new beginning, it has come. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again. A lot of people can die for what they believed in. Stephen, we saw Stephen die for what he believed in. But the difference is, he didn't come back to life on this earth. That he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Amen. and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. What a new beginning the death and the resurrection of Jesus was for so many. It was a new beginning for us. Us sitting right here. He was seen by Peter, the apostles. Over 500 brethren at one time. This is not a made-up story. This is not one of those, hey, I heard that this guy did it. Well, did you see it with your own eyes? Well, no, but I heard that it was. Over 500 people saw him at one time, many of whom were still alive. So there's no disputing this fact. But you look at the effects, the new beginnings. You talk about hope. The hope that the resurrected Jesus brought to people. Think of his dear friends, his apostles, Peter, James, and John. John, that he loved, the beloved apostle. Peter, that loved Jesus so much to know that he was resurrected. When Thomas saw him in the upper room, he missed the first time Jesus showed up to him. And then the next week when they came together, he sees and puts his hands in the holes in his hand and he sees the hole in his side. And his response was, "My Lord and my God." The resurrected Jesus changed things. The resurrected Jesus brought new beginnings for many people. It was the beginning of the church. It brought the beginning of what we're still part of today, the church. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, starting in verse 40, Peter and the apostles had been brought together, and Peter gave that wonderful gospel sermon, and it was heard by thousands. And after, at the end of this, we see in verse 40, it says, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized." A lot of people heard it, but not all gladly received it. But those that gladly received the word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. What a glorious day. I'm beside myself when somebody comes to me and say, "I would like to be baptized." 3,000. Talk about a new beginning. The church that we are part of, was born on this day, on the day of Pentecost. Talk about a new beginning. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." They weren't divisive. They didn't start going their own way. They continued steadfastly. This is a new beginning. A couple of verses later it says, "So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." We don't join the church. We don't send in two box tops and 35 cents to get a membership. We don't jump over a hoop. We don't get a secret decoder ring. The Lord adds us, though, to those that were being saved. Those that gladly received the word and were baptized were added to the church. Baptism. That's a new beginning. A new beginning. You're still the same human. When you come up out of the water after baptism, you still look the same. You're a little wet. But you look the same. Talk about a new beginning. When we're baptized, we come up out of the water a new creature. In Acts, staying in Acts right now, at the end of Peter's sermon, it convicted the people that were listening. The audience was convicted and they did not. They were beside themselves. And in verse 37, it said, "Men and brethren," it said they were cut to the heart. "What shall we do?" It hurt them to hear the sermon. Sometimes the truth hurts. The fact that you're not saved, that's scary. It hurts to realize that you're not pleasing in God's eyes. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And in verse chapter 2, verse 38, "Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's a new beginning. You realize that you're in sin. This is a much better beginning than the beginning of a new grade in school, or a new job, or a sports season. This offers more hope than that. When you're cut to the heart, and every one of us that have been baptized have been in that situation. That day that you realized that you're sinful, and that you're separated from God. And you asked yourself that very question, "What must I do?" And the Word of God responds, "Repent and be baptized." Romans 6, starting in verse 1, Paul is writing to Christians in Rome, and he says, "What shall we say then?" He'd been talking about grace. And some people thought, "Well, if we get grace when we sin, I want a lot more grace. Should we just sin a whole bunch? Because the more sin we have, the more grace we get." Paul responds to that concept. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" We don't continue in sin so we can get more grace, more forgiveness. We leave sin. We have been baptized into Christ. We don't want to continue in sin. We transform ourselves. We change. Romans 6:4, the very next verse, it says, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We don't look any different when we come up out of the water of baptism. We don't look different, but we are different. When we come up out of the water, we have died to that old self. We have died to sin. We've turned our back on that. And when we come up out of the water of baptism, we should be walking in newness of life, thanks to Christ Jesus. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We don't change physically. We change spiritually. We change by the renewing of our mind. We start looking at things differently. We start seeing things differently. We start seeing people instead of our friend at work. We see somebody that we need to take the gospel to. We start looking at the activities that we participate in differently, whether we should or should not continue that. We change by the renewing of our mind. We are transformed. We do not continue in that same path that we had lived for so long. 1 John 1, 7, the Apostle John writes, but if we walk in the light, and it's if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from sin. If we are walking in the light, we're going to stumble. There's not one of us that, after we become a Christian, doesn't stumble, doesn't stub our toe. There is a difference in sinning and living in sin. Before we are Christians, we are living in sin. After we are Christians, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us if we're walking in the light. And that's a big if. If we're walking in the light as He is in the light, not only do we have fellowship with one another, but the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. That's how we are transformed. Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Going right along with what Paul had talked about, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin so we get more forgiveness and more grace? Certainly not. Because if we go on sinning willfully after receiving that, there no longer remains a sacrifice. Repentance. One of the changes that we go through, one of the new beginnings, is repentance. Repentance is a wonderful thing at our disposal. We don't have to have that guilt. We're trying to run a race. We're not dragging guilt and worry and sin with us. We're laying it off, casting it off from us. Repentance allows us to do that. That we truly repent of our sins. Acts 17:30 says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. He gave us, those of us that are Christians, He has given us enough time to come to our senses. He has given us enough time to be taught. He has given us enough time in our lives to repent. This call is going out to everybody today as it was then, wanting us to repent of our sins so we can continue being cleansed by the blood of Christ. in Acts 2, 37 and 38. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart. This is going back to Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, and Peter's gospel sermon. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." A new creation. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." When we are in Christ, and how is it that you're in Christ? A lot of people think that they are in Christ, and they're not. "Well, I believe." Well, that's good. Belief only does not put you in Christ. How are you in Christ? When you're studying with somebody, ask them, "Are you in Christ?" And see what their response is. To be in Christ, and you've heard this a million times, most of you, this is a review of what we've heard for decades. But there may be some of you out there that aren't in Christ. And you've got to ask yourself sincerely, if you've done these things, if you are in Christ or not. You've got to hear the Word of God. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't, on the first Tuesday of the month, you become in Christ. You've got to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The Word of God is what leads us to be in Christ. Not the word of anybody else. Not some dream. Not some cloud formation. Not a feeling. You've got to hear the Word of God. You've got a choice after hearing the Word of God. You can either believe or not believe. Those are the only choices. Those are the only choices I can think of. If you can think of another choice after you've heard the Word of God, the only outcome is you either believe or you don't believe in what it says. Jesus said in John 8:24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Believe that He is who? Of course I know you're Jesus. I've known you for a few years now. No, He's not saying that you believe that I am Jesus, that I am He. I am He that has been prophesied from the beginning of time, that the Jews have been looking for. I am He, the Son of God, that will take away your sins. When you've heard the Word of God, you have a choice to either believe that Jesus is the Son of God or not. Once you do believe, Jesus wants you to make that confession. Make the confession like Peter made. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The same confession that Thomas made, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men," just believing, "Oh yeah, I have a mental acknowledgement that Jesus is the Son of God, but I'm going to keep it to myself. It's a secret. Shh. Be very, very quiet." Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." And it goes on to say in verse 33, those that don't make that confession, I will make the confession that I don't know you. I will not. Has anybody ever vouched for you for something at work, in the family, a policeman or something like that? You know, they vouch for you. Jesus is going to vouch for us on that day to God. He is going to go before God on behalf of us. He's one of ours, God. Or he's never confessed that belief. He's never professed to people. I know he believes, but he's never acted on it. He's never confessed that and profess that he knows me. We have to repent of sins. We cannot keep walking the same path. We have to be transformed. We have to be renewed. We have to turn our back to sin. Jesus says, I tell you no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We have to repent of our sins. We have to take advantage of that sacrifice that was given for on our behalf. You have to be baptized. Again, Jesus said, if you don't like these scriptures, take it up with God. Take it up with Jesus. And I promise you, granted, if you don't know me, my word's not worth a plug nickel to you. But I promise, if you don't like these scriptures, you will get a chance to take it up with Jesus someday. You may not like the outcome, but you will get a chance. This is not me saying it. This is Jesus, the words of Jesus. He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Those of us that believe and are baptized will be saved. We also have to remain faithful. Baptism is not the end. It is the beginning. It is the beginning of our walk as a Christian, because we are baptized into Christ. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. Those are the words of Jesus in Revelation 2:10. Look to the verse, Acts 2, it's 47, excuse me, not 27. Is it 27 on the outline or 47? Make that correction right now. I don't want you going out that door with a wrong verse. I don't want anybody saying Bruce is teaching false doctrine. That's not the verse. It's Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Are you in Christ? If you are, hallelujah. We rejoice. If you're not in Christ, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, you can be added to the church today. Not by us, by God. The Lord will add you to the church and add those who are being saved. If you're not a Christian, you can become one today. You've heard the Word of God. Hopefully, you've acted on it and believe it. You can make that confession that you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God to these people right here. You need to repent of your sins. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have to change. You have to repent of sins, turn the other way, and walk a spiritual walk. You need to be baptized and then remain faithful until death. If you need to be added to the church, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we have the opportunity. If you need to repent of sins, it's a perfect time. A new beginning. A new beginning of putting that old sin behind you and going on to something better. If it's a private sin between you and God, repent privately. If it's a public sin that has involved others, that others need to know your repentance and your sorrow, by all means, do it publicly. But if it's private, you do that between you and God. If you need prayers of the congregation, we have an opportunity. We will all go to God on your behalf. Whatever your need, Daryl's going to lead us in the invitation song. If you would come forward, let your needs be known. We will address those personally. And please let us stand and sing.